Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Thank you for joining us here today, whatever time of day it is for you. It's a pleasure to have you with me. I never take for granted the fact that you would tune in and give me the honor of your time. So I'm going to pay as much attention to your time as I know how and give you as much of my heart as I know how as well. The theme of this broadcast is Alive to Love. I'm a no BS bishop. I believe that there should be a minimum amount of bait and switch, a minimum, actually, a no amount of BS. So it comes along with our faith, our spirituality. We ought to be as authentic as we know how to be and go straight to the heart of what is needed for every heart that we are looking at, and we want to see to it that life comes to the people around us. So in that spirit, I want to touch on the hot topic of the hour. This is the middle of March 2020 for the archived broadcasts that are out there, and we're in the middle of the pandemic of COVID-19. It seems to me that the Alive to Love theme of this broadcast fits right into speaking to the heart of what is happening in our nation and even in the world around us. So I believe, though, that even without a pandemic, which is with everyday life, these are principles that could actually revolutionize our approach to people and life in the face of challenges, great or small. So I'm going to talk to you about life in the day of COVID-19. Love is the vaccine. Life in the day of COVID-19, that's the coronavirus. Love is the vaccine. In fact, I believe love's the vaccine for anything that ails us as humankind, whether it be spiritual, physical, psychological, or any other challenge of our life. Love is going to always be the vaccine. I work part-time to support my family and myself, and as a part of my mission. I work part-time for a community action program called WestCap here in western Wisconsin. We do a variety of things with WestCap, but my program is called the Commodity Supplemental Food Program. That is for senior citizens who are in need. It's for folks over 60 who are in need of basic nutrition, and we pack 750 boxes a month with about 30 to 35 pounds of food. I coordinate volunteers who pack those boxes, and then I deliver those boxes to seven counties all around the area here in western Wisconsin. A wide variety of food pantries, senior facilities that where people are living in terms of whether it's a senior assisted community or simply a senior apartment complex. I deliver those boxes to folks whose income is pretty minimal and they're going to need basic nutrition. Well, what I'm discovering as I'm going out about my day-to-day routine with this part-time job that I do is that the folks that are 60 and above, who are the most vulnerable in our world today with COVID-19, the physically vulnerable to this, are increasingly isolated for necessity. And out of an abundance of caution, folks in that age group are more and more and more pushed aside, as we're already warehousing senior citizens in our country. But now we really have created a situation where people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s are definitely growing more and more isolated. I just want to put in my own plug right now to tell you that each one of us should be alive to love for folks that are in their senior years of life. Be a person of contact, whether that contact, if it can't be physical, which right now it's wise to remain as physically distant as possible, then it can be a written letter. It can be a phone call. It can be a FaceTime on your computer or phone. It can be some means of sending a person that you know the love they are desperate for. Just because you're 60, 70, 80, or 90 doesn't mean you've stopped being a genuine human being. with an authentic need for love coming your way. In fact, if anything, the rate of need actually increases at that point in life. So I want to challenge all of you listening, reach out to your family, reach out to your neighbors, reach out to your community of folks in their senior, as who are seniors. That's generally speaking, 60 and above. I guess I stumble over that because I'm 66 and I guess I still feel like a 12-year-old kid. But I know as a 66-year-old man, some of my margins in terms of community action have decreased somewhat. So I have a small amount of empathy in terms of experience for those who are finding themselves more and more isolated. I go into communities like senior facilities that I visit, and I see the emptiness in their eyes. I see the cry for a conversation, just a moment of touch, a moment of making sure that person knows, I see you sitting there. I really do want to know, how are you today? And I have found myself in really emotionally challenged and moved as I go in and out of doors like that throughout our region. I recognize that the need, the cry for love, is enormous. Mother Teresa said, the hunger for love is a greater hunger than the hunger for bread. And she knew in Calcutta, India, that the hunger for bread was catastrophic. But she said the greater need than a hunger for bread is a hunger for love. It's true of our day. So today I'm talking to you about life in the day of COVID-19. Love is the vaccine. May we each one determine that love is the grandest purpose of our life. We are to be people who are lovers above all other goals in life. I know we all have to have careers. I know we all have to have dreams. I know we all have to have practical purposes that we live for. I know all of those things, but I want to tell you, nothing is more important than being a person of love. And if you have a career, but you have not love, then your career is an empty pursuit. If you have high goals and dreams, but you have not love, then your goals and dreams are falling to the floor and in need of the real oxygen of life, which is love. Love is the value to which we have all been called. Love is the only thing worth everything. We are, each one of us, challenged day by day to be lovers, lovers of all humankind, lovers of every person we meet. I'm convinced that anybody, everybody, every day you meet and see somebody, they're in need of love. And now that we're doing something that we're calling social distancing, which is a practical purpose, may we each one discover new ideas, reach for new ways to close that distance without socially contacting, without physically contacting, but being present in a conversation, making sure I'm looking people in the eye, that I'm alive to love, and I'm looking at somebody with the notion that your words are important to me. Being alive to love. If I have to be 6 feet away from you in physicality, then I purpose to you that I will not be less than 6 inches away from you in terms of spirituality. My spirit, my heart, my love is going to be as close to you as I know how to get. I'm going to give attention to your stories. Even if I've heard that story 30 times, I'll hear it 31 times. May we each one have a powerful sense that during this time of national emergency and worldwide pandemic, may we each one recognize that this is an opportunity to be generous. This is an opportunity to rediscover love. After all, isn't that what we were all here on this earth for anyway? It wasn't about making money and having a career and building a bigger house or seeing to it that all of our bills are paid constantly. It's really been about love anyway. Love is the only thing worth everything. Love alone is credible. May that be the cry of our hearts. So let me dive into a couple of moments here with you about conversations that we have that we can energize with love. How can I energize my conversation with love? Well, first of all, here's one thing that has been a purpose in my mind for a long, long time. I discovered this early in life when I, as a young pastor, I saw people responding in this manner that I'll describe in a moment, and recognizing that this kind of response was really pretty empty. And here it is. It's a quote that you can fit into almost any circumstance, and it's this. Hey, if you ever need anything, give me a call. If you ever need me, let me know. Now, those words sound so kind and so generous, but they're not. What it does is it lays the responsibility on the person in need to call. It lays the responsibility on the person who's just had a death in their family to reach out when they're probably just no more energy left in their mind to reach out or do anything. Don't be so tone deaf to the needs of others that you would look at somebody in great need and say, if you ever need, full stop. Here's the reality. If you're looking at somebody and you recognize they have a need, which pretty much encompasses all of us, if you look at somebody and recognize they have a need, say, listen, I know you have needs. Can you tell me, would you right now tell me what are your greatest needs? Because I want to do something to help meet your needs. Be committed to a life of love. Be alive to love. Comb through your normal narratives, your normal ways of communicating, which would be, again, as I said, when you say to somebody, hey, if you ever have a need for anything, let me know. Don't do that. Say to them, I know you have needs, because really all God's children got needs. We all got needs. Look at somebody and say, I know you have needs, and I know I have things in my life that could easily meet your needs, and I want to be a part of meeting your needs. Can you right now, would you please give me the opportunity of knowing what your needs are, because I want a purpose to meet your needs. You know, that's love. You know, so what if they say, hey, man, I really need a whole lot of money? Then you be honest. You if you don't have money to give them, tell them, look, I don't have money, but give me some time and I'll try to think of ways that we can find some money for you. If they say, I need some food, well, then tell them, let's get in the car. Come on with me. Let's go to the grocery store. Let's go somewhere and make sure that you have food. So it's a commitment in the moment. It's not a commitment in some ethereal future moment that may or may not and probably won't come. It's a commitment in the moment. It may feel good to say, if you ever need me, give me a call. That feels good, but it's usually never practical. Being alive to love says, I'm willing to make the commitment right now. What are your needs? Let's take care of them in the best way I know how in this moment. Another thing that I'm recognizing that needs to happen that's very near and dear to my heart, has been for quite some time, is that we recognize that everybody we meet in a business interaction, and that's usually grocery stores, gas stations, restaurants, those kinds of daily interactions, those people that you're talking to are usually minimum wage folks that are working hard to just get 8 to 10 hours in on any given day, and they're usually not getting paid a whole lot of money. And those are people that are trying to find a way in life to just get by. Recognize that that person at the grocery store checkout counter is normally somebody who's just really bone tired, maybe got a kid at home that they're just trying to make sure they can buy diapers for. And look at that person in the eye, smile, give them the benefit of your 3 or 4 minutes at that grocery store line, and let them know you see what they're doing. Now, that doesn't have to be too engaging, because they probably got customers in the line that they've got to tend to. It doesn't have to be lengthy. It doesn't have to be profound, but it ought to be at least eye contact, smile, a recognition that I see your work in there. And if they do an adequate job, just say, thanks for your help today. If they do a good job, make sure you say, thank you for doing such a great job for me. I appreciate it. And you know what? And if that person at the grocery store aisle and they're checking you out and they're not quite engaging themselves in their own purpose there, be at least polite enough to say, I appreciate you. Thanks. Have a good day. Make sure that your social distancing is that gap is closed by some psychological and emotional intimacy in any given situation. Look people in the eye and give them a smile at the very least. If you can't shake hands, then you can touch a heart. If you can't shake hands, at least engage the soul of everyone you're connecting with. I remember one time, oh my, I must have been in my mid-20s or so. We had our first baby, my wife and I, and then times were tight and tough, and I was learning the ropes of being a new dad and trying to find my way as a young pastor. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what the psychological slide was in my life, but boy, I slid into a funk. I was fighting for my emotional stability, and I was afraid. All I could recognize was I just felt afraid. I wake up in the morning, I was afraid. I'd go to bed at night. I felt fear. We had a marriage and family therapist in our church at that time. A guy named Rick, and this was down in West Texas, and Rick was just a great gentleman. And I remember one day I walked up to Rick, and he was in our church service on a Sunday morning, and he said, "How you doing, Randy?" And something snapped inside of me. What I did was I just looked him dead in the eye. I said, "Rick, I'm not doing good at all. I can't explain it, but I'm just afraid." Well, in that moment, Rick looked at me. And he grabbed me and he hugged me and he held me for more than the average hug. And he said, "It's going to be okay, Randy. I love you." And he let go and he smiled and he went on his way and I went on my way. And do you know what? Something snapped in a good way for me. The emotional scale tipped for me. I had a tipping point in that moment. I recognized more than anything, I just needed somebody to connect with, even in a small way, even in a passing way, that would recognize that I had some fears I couldn't explain. That became for me and Rick a point of reference that went forward from there in other conversations and other points of contact. But I dropped my guard, he dropped his guard, and we connected. Can I tell you that that's true right now more than ever before? Wherever you're walking, wherever you're going, in this day of the COVID-19, love is the vaccine. Look at people in the eye and recognize that everybody's fighting a battle. Everybody's a little afraid. Everybody's nervous. Everybody's wondering where their health is going to end up in this. Everybody's wondering where, for some, it's where's my next dollar going to come from? And everybody needs my attention, even if it is for a brief moment. Another matter that I want to discuss with you in life in the day of COVID-19, love is the vaccine. Let's be about making sure that our local businesses are supported. Now, this may sound ultimately practical, but I want to tell you it's about love, being alive to love. Our communities need love. I grew up in Milwaukee. I recognize that city had all of my growing up days in Milwaukee. I recognize that city had a unique character to it because our neighborhoods were tight-knit. East Milwaukee was different than West Milwaukee was different than North Milwaukee was different than South Milwaukee, because every region of Milwaukee and the smaller portions of those regions in Milwaukee had their own personality. And I don't know why, I don't know how, but in the day, Milwaukee celebrated those distinctions, celebrated our neighborhoods. I remember the Italian neighborhood over in the east side of Milwaukee being just a great delight to be around. I have fond memories of the east side of Milwaukee and getting to know some Italian mamas and getting to taste a homemade pasta, homemade lasagna. Whew, makes me want some right now. But the love for community is something that set up an energy that was so specific that it was almost palpable. I want to just muse with you for a moment that in this day of COVID-19 and that love is the vaccine, I want to tell you that we ought to celebrate our communities, our small groups, our small neighborhoods, get to know your neighbor. Recognize that your neighbor is feeling a little more isolated these days. Recognize that your local businesses need a little more support these days. If you've been like me, you've gone to the big box stores like Walmart or Target or some of the others, and you recognize that those big box stores are under siege. People are panic buying for whatever good or bad reasons it may be, the grocery store shelves are being emptied. Can I just suggest to you that we ought to look more at our small town home businesses and recognize they have something that none of those big box stores can offer. I know the small town stores usually cost more, the prices are higher, but there's something about getting to engage your fellow community neighbor, friend in those stores. Go to your neighborhood store. Go to your small stores. Give people the love they need for keeping those businesses alive and active. And like never before, right now, we need to let love be the vaccine for this virus, especially for love for our community. And last but not least here, this is a bit of a general topic, but it's something, again, that's near and dear to my heart. And that has to do with generosity. Being a generous person in terms of your own ability. I know that some people don't have a huge ability for generosity because you live on a very, very, very tight budget. But I know most of you listening, you could be far more generous than what you ever dreamed you might be. Here's what I know. Churches all across America right now are suffering from lack of attendance. They have been anyway for the past 20 years. Attendance has been dropping like a rock across America. The greatest growing category of spirituality in America are the nuns, the N-O-N-E's, the none of the above. Churches are suffering for lack of attendance, and yep, they're also suffering for lack of financial support. Now in our day of quarantine and of encouraging not to be in groups of 50 or more, churches are going to suffer financially on top of an already very tight financial struggle. I would propose to you that it's important, it's vital for each of us to give to our local churches, even if you can't be there. Put a check in the mail. Give a call to your church administrator, your church accountant, your church pastor, and ask, where can I send my offering? And do something with other members of your church and recognize that, hey, let's reach out to our church. Let's see what we can do creatively to support the financial needs of our church. I have no salary coming to me from a church. I do have my own nonprofit, Randy Dean Ministries, but I recognize that churches have greater budgets, bigger budgets that they have to meet month in and month out. And if there's half of the attendance on a Sunday, that's likely going to mean half of the income that they're in need for their basic budget. And that, my friends, is catastrophic over a period of time. Our churches need your love. Our local pastors need your support. They need you to be alive to love, to keep encouragement and love flowing to those folks that are in those places of service to our spiritual and religious needs. So in the day of COVID-19, love is the vaccine. Make sure that you are seeing practical needs being met financially by being a generous person. Love is generous. When you go to a restaurant now, if they're still open, I would suggest that you double your tip. If you're buying a $10 meal, for me, that's a 20% tip. I'm going to tell you what to do, but I know automatically that's 20% of that 10 bucks. Well, I would suggest that you up that to 30, maybe 40%, and make that tip very generous, because that server, that table server, is somebody who is likely just a single mom, a single dad, just some college kid just trying to find a way to make a living, and they need your generosity. In the day of COVID-19, love is the vaccine. We are going to need to find ways to love one another that maybe we've never thought of before. I want to close with one last little idea here in this being alive to love in the day of COVID-19. We've gotten away from the practice, I believe, of writing letters. I saw something the other day that was really interesting to me, and that was that somebody said that George Bush Sr., the first George Bush Sr., used to hand write letters to his family, his children, and to friends and to business comrades. In fact, I heard that Bill Clinton, when he came into office right after George Bush Sr. lost that re-election bid, that George Bush Sr. hand wrote letters to Bill Clinton, and they forged a friendship out of those letters that President Bush wrote to him. That just inspired me. It inspired me to recognize that a handwritten letter is perhaps a lost art. There's something about that handwritten note that shows your foibles. When you make a mistake, you cross it out or you white it out. It shows your handwriting style. It gives people a real sense that your hand was on that piece of paper. Your heart was right there in that moment. Handwrite a note, even if it's a short note. A short note written is better than a long letter intended. A short note written is better than a long letter intended. Make sure that in this life of COVID-19, that love is the vaccine. Handwrite some letters. Get on the phone and call somebody for no particular reason. You don't have to have a reason to call somebody. Call them and say, "Hi, I was just thinking of you. Want to know how you're doing?" Well, thanks for walking with me through this practical broadcast today about life in the day of COVID-19 and love being the vaccine. I know it's out of the ordinary for me, but we are in extraordinary times. I just want to give you, as much as I know how to, my own thoughts in the matter. So while you're sitting, wherever you're sitting, if you're driving, just clear your mind. You can drive, multitask. If you're at an exercise point right now, just clear your mind. If you're sitting in your living room or kitchen or office, listening to me on a device or radio, give me 1 minute here to do something that I try to close every broadcast with, and that is this. First of all, take a deep breath in of gratitude for God, and exhale a thank you. Now, take another deep breath in of the love of God that's coming your way. And exhale, "I love you back, Almighty God."
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.